Hi everyone, it's Tisha from the Gals Inspiration Hub and Tisha Marie Enterprises. Thanks for tuning in. With me today is my special guest, Angela Vertuccio of Vertuccio Farms. Thank you for joining me today at our Inspiration Station kickoff, Angela. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Tisha. I'm grateful to be here. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, well, I know you're a big inspiration to me, so I'm very excited to interview you as my first guest. But for those of you who maybe don't know Angela, I would just like to ask her a couple questions, and then she can interject about how she balances life and family. But first of all, Angela, tell me a little bit about you. Are you native Arizona? Have you always grown up on a farm? Like I mentioned, you are the owner of Vertuccio Farms out here in the Mesa-Gilbert area in Arizona. So how did you get your start on the farm, I guess, is my big question.
Okay. I am not native. I come from a military family, so both my parents were retired Marines, so we spent quite a bit of time traveling. We lived overseas for a while. Great experience, but I got transferred, well, my parents did, to Yuma, Arizona. That's where I graduated from high school, and it just seemed like a natural fit to move up to Phoenix to go to school. And I didn't plan on staying here, but it is where I met my husband. So now I'm here.
And now you're here, and you have two beautiful boys I've seen. What are their names and their ages?
Yes, my husband is Kono. He is my business partner. I have a 16-year-old, I have a 13-year-old little boy, Joseph, and I have a 5-year-old as well. So they are my little helpers. They help out on the farm, and they're growing like weeds.
Good. And I understand that you and Kono, you've been married for, was it 16 years? Did I say that correctly? Or, oh my goodness, 16 years. My husband and I are getting ready to celebrate 12 years this year. And it's, you just even think back 12 years ago at what our lives were like. It's just incredible how much has changed. So you met him. Where did you meet him? And what attracted you most to him?
Well, we both worked in the automotive industry before we started farming, and I met him. He was a friend of mine for a while before we, you know, really started dating, but he had that desire to work for himself like I do, and, you know, I just connected well with him, and I knew if I was going to take on, you know, a business partner, I would definitely want to have him on my team. We got along well. We come from, you know, kind of the same cultures. We have same, you know, kind of family backgrounds. It just, everything just seemed to click. So, and I just adore him. He's a really good person. I'm happy to have him.
I'll have to agree. I met him a couple times. Very nice guy. Yeah. So you had said, Angela, in just a previous questionnaire that you pretty much married into the farm. So did Kono have the farm? Did he grow up on a farm? Like how did it all come about that now you are now the owners of Vertuccio Farms? Was it in his family prior?
Well, yeah, he did grow up farming, went off to college and, you know, worked in corporate America. But his family had some property in Mesa where we're at now on Power Road. He bought a little bit more property when we got married, and so now we have the 25 acres, which we've incorporated as our family, and we started off by building a farmer's market. He wanted to concentrate on farming, and I started to run the business side of the farm, and that worked really well for us when we first got married. It was a lot of work, but we enjoyed it, and just from there, we've just started growing and adding on. We wanted to do more than just food. We started bringing in things like events, field trips, U-Pig, our big fall festival we do. So I married into it. He's the green thumb. He knows all about farming, but it suits us well because I have, you know, some business experience behind me, so we make a good team.
Yeah, sounds like it. Okay, so you've also told me before that you homeschool. So how do you find the time? So you're running the farm. You're going, obviously, and marketing for the farm as well, but you also homeschool. So how are you doing that? Is my big question.
Yeah, it's definitely not for everyone. I started having this little tug on my heart when my oldest Joseph was a couple years old, and I remember that, you know, all I ever wanted to be when I was young was a teacher. You know, when you're a kid, you know, and ask you what you want to be. That's really all I ever wanted to be, and a ballerina, and I got to be a ballerina. So being a teacher was just not something when it came time to think about a career that I was going to do. But when I started, you know, having my children, I thought, well, I could do this. You know, it could work out for us, you know, with the way the farm works and things are seasonal, and sometimes we have a lot of time, sometimes we don't. And I don't know, I struggled with it for a while because, you know, I didn't know anybody who did that, you know, at the time. And I was a little bit, you know, I always kind of thought homeschoolers were people that, you know, had problem children. I was kind of naive, you know, about it. I didn't know there were so many resources or that it was actually something people chose to do. So I talked to my husband, and he was just gung-ho about it. He was like, you would make an awesome teacher. He's like, let's do this. I know we can do it. We can make it work. And so I just jumped right in, like with everything else I do. And I can't imagine it being any other way. It just really suits us well. You know, I can, you know, teach a little bit here at home. Sometimes we're at the farm. I have a little, you know, office apartment there. I can teach there. The kids are learning, you know, more than just academics. They're learning, you know, how to work on the farm. They're learning social skills, you know, the spiritual skills. And so it just suits us well. I'm really happy.
Good. Great. So what are some of the values that you hope to instill in your children? I know that's really important for me, obviously, being a mother as well. But what are some things that you're hoping they're taking away from what they're seeing with you and Kono, and also with the, you know, homeschooling atmosphere that you have? Like, what is it that you would want them to take away from that experience?
Well, that's a big part of why we wanted to homeschool. We wanted to give them a foundation before they went off to either high school or college. You know, Joseph is going to go to high school here soon, but I feel like he has a pretty good foundation with when it comes to, you know, our faith, being tolerant and kind, you know, knowing how to think is important. I mean, a lot of times, you know, with some schools, they teach kids what to think. You know, I want Joseph and my kids to, you know, understand logic and reason. And I want them to also have an opportunity to be who they're, you know, created to be. And sometimes, you know, that doesn't come out, you know, when they're in school all day when they're little. You know, there's a famous Michelangelo quote, every brick of stone has a statue inside, and it's the task of the sculptor to discover it. And, you know, I think of that, I refer to that, you know, to myself, and constantly, you know, being reflective and introspective about me and who I'm trying to be. But I also take that approach with my children. You know, Michelangelo was talking about the David, the famous statue, you know, I think we've all seen. I don't know if you, you know, are familiar with. I mean,
I've actually seen it. Beautiful.
Okay. You know, he's claiming that that was already in there, and it was him who brought it out. And so we as parents, I take that approach with my kids. And so, like, you know, I have the talent and the time and the skills, and everything that I do helps bring out the person or what they're created to be. And so that's, you know, those things are important. You know, I want them to be themselves and, you know, love life and be happy, you know, all those things. But homeschooling has given me an opportunity to really give that kind of foundation for them.
That's good. Very good. Okay, so homeschooling, farming, typical day. What are you waking up at 2 a.m.? Do you go to bed? I mean, we all kind of have this. What does a typical day look like? I wish there were camera crews just following moms around and just trying to. I'm sure they have that. It's called, like, Real Housewives, right? But I'd love to know, like, what your day, when do you start your day? When does the day end? What does that look like for
well,
you?
Well, I'm a farm wife, so our day does start early. It starts before the sun gets up. I'm just a naturally, you know, early riser. I like to spend my time, you know, either meditating and praying when I first get up. It's a habit I have. It's real important to me. And then, you know, I love my coffee. You know, the house is quiet, so, you know, have my coffee. I catch up on maybe some emails. I always like to, you know, look through the headlines for the day, make sure I know what's happening in the world, make sure the world hasn't blown up yet. And then it's, you know, if we're going to the farm, I got to get the kids up, do breakfast, pack up lunches, We do field trips on the farm, and most of the schools come out early. So once we get there, kids start working on, you know, feeding animals, you know, watering the gardens, getting eggs, those kind of things. And I start setting up with the staff for the school buses to arrive. And we go from there. You know, the kids come out. We give them a tour. They get some play time. You know, they have lunch. And then usually around lunchtime, you know, I have enough staff where they can, you know, manage the rest of it. And I'll take the kids into the office, my kids. We'll do a little bit of school, have lunch, maybe come back home, you know, do a little bit more. I'll make some callbacks, do some more emails, whatever I got going on with that. And then, you know, prep work for dinner. We tag team, me and my husband, between soccer and swim and this and that. And then, you know, dinner is important to us as a family, so we do sit down to eat together. That's, you know, a priority for us. And then, you know, kids, you know, play and bed, and then I work a little bit more, or I spend my time reading. I love to read. So I do it all again the next day. It's, you know, that's our schedule. Exciting.
Yeah, it's a lot packed into a day, though, I'll tell you that. Okay, so let's talk about the farm for a little bit. I know that you have several events you planned because I've been to your amazing fall festival. But what are some of the events that you're preparing for these days?
Well, right now on the weekends, we're doing our farm fun and food trucks. We started that last year for a little bit, and I got some good feedback. So we open up the farm in the evening. Food trucks come out. I'm working with the same people that do the Gilbert Farmers Market. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but they have the contacts with the trucks. So they bring the trucks out, and then I open up the farm for play. It's fun. I'm working on getting the school field trips scheduled, birthday parties on the weekend. I have the Easter egg experience that we do here in March. Easter falls in March 26th this year for our Easter experience event. Big egg hunt, you know, Easter bunny pictures, pancake breakfast. It's a lot of fun. I don't advertise that one very much because it's one of those events that just people share amongst themselves that people kind of know they've been doing for a while. So a lot of little kiddos out. And then
that's great.
We're working the ground for U-Pick as well. We do a big U-Pick peaches. We have a big 10-acre orchard. U-Pick tomatoes. We have cucumbers, melons, peppers, things like that as well. And that's all, you know, usually around May or June, depending on weather. So it's all seasonable. There's always something coming off, but that's kind of what I'm working on right now a lot. And then I get a little break for the summer, and then I start working on my fall festival. That's my big corn maze, pumpkin patch type event, and that's a big one. So,
yeah, so I'm hoping that over the summer you do take that break, and you, I know you've come to our summer spa day, which we're going to do again this year. I know, it's just one of those events that I'm like, I just have to do this every single year, because it just forces us. It lets us just, you know, have that day to ourselves where we're not worried about anything else. And so, yeah, we will be doing that again. But the Easter egg experience, that's the one that I'd never been to that one, Angela, but I'm seeing a couple of postings come out about it, and I'm excited to bring the kids to that this year because they have never been. And, of course, your fall festival, they love going to that. I told you we've gotten lost in the corn maze a few times too, which is always a treat, always a treat.
Okay.
Yeah, so I know you and I have spoken, but would you say that 2015 was like your record year so far with some of these events? Because it seems like every year it just grows more and more in popularity with word of mouth, with social media, with you just doing more marketing around it.
Yeah, you know what? We've been fortunate enough to be growing each year, and I think some of it is the fact that we take a lot of pride in what we do, but we invest a lot of time and energy back into the farm, trying to, you know, add new things, to, you know, keep things clean, repairs, those type of things. So we invest the time and energy it takes to you know, kind of add thing, you know, something new to it. And I think people like that. I think they appreciate, you know, the fact that, you know, there's always something, you know, maybe something new there. We change up the corn maze, maybe add an attraction. And keeping, you know, things affordable. That's real important to us as well. We're keeping, you know, family affordable fun is kind of like our little motto. And
yeah.
I think, you know, families really appreciate that. So, and the word gets out and people talk amongst themselves. And I just, you know, some people tell me it's their family tradition to come to our fall festival every year. It's a big deal. They got to come get their pumpkin. They got to go through the corn maze. So we're fortunate. I feel really, you know, blessed. Yeah, if the numbers do keep going up, and my husband's like, ah, oh, we got to expand some more. We got to do this next year. We got to do that next year. And I'm like, yep, we just got to keep thinking, keep those gears going and, you know, keep growing.
I have noticed that, though, because I've gone in, you know, past years, at you're always adding something. There's always something else going on, which is, it's just great for, like we were just talking about this, as a business owner, you just evolve. You just keep adding new things and trying new things, and if it doesn't work, then you change it. So it's great that, you know, like I said, every time the kids and I are so surprised that, oh, they didn't have this year. They didn't have this. This is so new. So I'm excited for everything that you're to add on to the events as you move forward. So we're excited. I know they're already talking about the pillow, the air pillow, and the corn maze. So we'll be back. So tell me, like, what would you say is your favorite part about farm life, about being the boss? Like, what, do you have a favorite, or maybe have a couple favorites about, you know, your day-to-day, what you love doing when you're there?
Yeah, well, I am the co-owner, so it's me and my husband, but, you know, he does what he does, and I do what I do, and I like the fact that I have that kind of freedom to do what it is I do, whether it be, you know, just dealing with the staff or the scheduling, running the business side of things, making my own schedule, making appointments that work around me, depending on, you know, what I have going on with the kids, never getting bored, you know, because there's always something new to do. That works well for me. I am the boss, but I am a piece of something bigger than me. You know. Mm-hmm. I try to remember that I, you know, I've married into this family, and they, you know, they have given me, you know, the chance to really help move the farm in a direction more than just growing food, but, you know, having a, you know, affordable food, family fun, you know, education, more events, doing things like that. And that's I like that. It was exciting for me, and, you know, I've never, mm-hmm. you know, done anything like this. It was something that kind of just fell into our laps. When my husband and I, you know, 16 years ago, were talking about the corn maze, it was kind of scary because, like, are people going to pay money to go walk through corn? But, you know, you take that chance, and people actually do like doing that. And so, yeah, I'm the boss. I kind of manage my own here, you know, in my life.
And
so, yeah, so it's good. It works. I love it.
Yeah, I created a shirt. I don't know if you've seen it in the store, but it says it's the hashtag boss woman. And I swear, when people, I tell people, they're like, I like that shirt. I want that shirt. I'm like, you're the boss and you're the woman. Seriously. I mean, you should have this shirt. I have the shirt in several colors. Well, good. So tell me about, I mean, there's a lot of people, hopefully, that are going to be tuning in, listening, reading the story in Valley Lifestyles magazine, which I'm excited, is, you know, to write the story on you. But what are some words of wisdom? You know, I always feel like people, you know, view you as a role model. It's always nice to be able to say, you know what, this is what I would tell you. You know, if I could do things over again, this is what I would say. Or this is where I draw my inspiration from. Like, what are some inspiring words of wisdom you would share with people who are listening or who may be reading the article when it comes out?
Well, I definitely believe we have to know ourselves. Okay, mm-hmm. I know that takes introspection, but take that time to figure out what it is you're passionate about, what you want to do, what you can bring to the table. Be assertive with not just your words, but, you know, your actions, your life. Don't expect people to know what you're thinking or what you want. You know, you have to, you know, express it. You got to do it. You got to go after it. You got to get it. When I live a little fearlessly, I know what it is that I stand for, and, you know, I kind of, you know, I know what I'm willing to, you know, live and die for, so to speak, you know, what ship I'll go down with. But I'm also flexible, I try to remember that, you know, sometimes I have to write things out, see where it takes me, you know, be willing to retrace your steps and figure out, you know, maybe if you've made a mistake or how you could have done something better. I have an inner guide I use, you know, everybody, you know, may call it their source, Holy Spirit, whatever it is, but I'm connected with that, so I listen to that a lot. I set goals. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always, you know, reflecting back on that, assessing, seeing what I need to switch up or change. I try to remember that, you know, in business or being an entrepreneur, sometimes two heads are better than one. You know, it's not always
mm-hmm.
A solo affair. You know, I'm lucky to be married to my business partner, but sometimes other people, you know, they're trying to do everything on their own. If you
mm-hmm.
can cultivate, you know, relationships in your business, either with, you know, people you trust, either with staff, another business partner, you know, that's going to take you to new places. So I think that's important. There's that old African proverb that says if you want to go fast, go alone, but if you want to go
mm-hmm.
far, go together. Right? You've probably heard
mm-hmm.
that. So sometimes I
have
to remember, you know, it's not just me, you know, it's like we, you know, we can go farther together. And so that's important. Let's see. I try to remember, and this is something I'm working on right now, leadership and humility go together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, I didn't learn that early on. You know, those two words really didn't go in the same sentence with me. I felt like you had to always be in control or always seem like I was in control. And I have found that when I make myself vulnerable, that opens me up to getting some good feedback, you know, taking, you know, some advice, learning new things, maybe hearing another perspective kind of opens
mm-hmm.
my mind a little bit and makes me a little more humble in, you know, how I deal with, you know, my staff or people. So I try to remember that. That's something I'm working on now. Just leadership does take humility. And just trying new things. Gratitude is a huge thing for me. You know, always
mm-hmm.
expressing gratitude and little things and just sometimes taking a card and writing it, sending an email to someone, expressing to the people that helped me, you know, in many ways, you know, my thankfulness. That's a big part of, you know, I think me moving forward and in my life and just enjoying the life, you know, you lead. I, you know, enjoy it. Be always willing to learn.
Mm-hmm.
My absolutely nuggets of truth there.
Yeah. So a couple more questions and I think we'll wrap it up. But what are three things like that you could absolutely not live without? I know I read it in your questionnaire, but I'd love for you to tell me. What are those three things for you?
The three things, my family is just definitely one of them. They're from my favorite people, my husband and my kids.
Mm-hmm.
My wine, I could never, you know, give up. I can never do without my wine. And then probably a good bowl of pasta with it. I work out with a trainer, and when he was telling me, you know, we got started how things are going to work, I told him straight up, I'm not giving up my wine, and I'm not giving up my pasta. Okay, so I have to have those. And I am a big book reader, too. I love books, not just on the Kindle or the iPad, but there's something romantic about holding a book. I love
mm-hmm.
I love reading. So those are probably my favorite things.
Yeah, I agree with you. I need to have a book in my hand, like reading it on an electronic device. This is not the same.
No, it's
same.
Not.
I like, you know, I mean, there was a book that I was reading where every single page I had dog tags, like just, I was like, I want to read this again. I want to read this again. You know, I should just read the book again because it was, there were less pages that weren't. But yeah, that is something that I know I want to do more of is just find the time, read more, like really carve out some of my day to do that. And I don't believe that there's that I'm too busy. You know when people say that, they're like, I'm too busy. No, I think you make your priorities. I do. I agree with that. I think that you carve out time that you need for yourself or your family. So the whole, I'm too busy, I can't make it. I'm too busy, I can't do this. Well, and obviously you need to rethink your priorities a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, well, good. Okay, and last question. I love asking this because if you haven't gone to our Gals Inspiration Hub or the Tisha's Corner on Tisha Marie Enterprises, they do have a section there that has inspirational, motivational songs. I don't know if you have you been there, Angela? It's just a listing of YouTube videos, essentially, of all the songs people have told me are songs that I really get up and dance to, that really just, light a fire and motivate me.
Have
So
not. I
what
haven't been
is
there yet.
Yeah, you'll have to check it out. I've gotten a lot of feedback from some of our members and have put those songs up for them. And also have asked other people, like, what are some of the songs? I remember the one, I think the first one up, if I'm not mistaken, is Walking on Sunshine. And I was like, oh, it kind of brought me back to that Secret of Success movie, if you've ever seen that, with Michael J. Fox. It was like way back in the, I think, in the 80s. But I remember that song. I'm like, I love this song. It's just fun to be
That
instantly
is a good song.
uplifted. So what is your number one song that you just, this is the song, every time I hear it, it just, affirms everything for me. What's that song for you?
Well, I'm kind of, let's see, I have a couple of them. One that just, it always puts me in a good mood. I just gotta get up and dance kind of song would probably be because I'm a closet hippie. I'm an old Cat Stevens fan and I love Peace Train. I just love
Ah.
that song. But the songs that just make, just always when I've had a rough day or I just need something to just calm me, make me remember that I'm not always in control is Paul McCartney's Let It Be. I just love that
Great
song. When I
song.
hear it, I just, yeah, I remember, you know what? I'm not in control. Always have to be in control. Sometimes my higher power just says, I got this. So I just let him take care of it for me.
Yeah,
Those are
it's
my
a great
songs.
song. We'll have to add that to the motivational music mix. I make a note. This
I'll
is
have to check
Angela's
that out.
song.
I'm gonna go. I have to go online and check that out. I didn't know you were putting songs like that up there. That's cool.
Yeah, well, I have it really under TishaMarieEnterprises.com. Essentially, the site is two sites. It's two sites in one. So you've got Gals Inspiration Hub, which is the membership organization, and then you've got my site, which is just, products, programs. The store is on there, so you can see some of the latest T-shirt designs. But there's also this Tisha's Corner where it's like, where I've been maybe featured in the news, motivational music. There's even an Amazon store there where I've every time someone tells me this is a book you should read, a business book or an inspirational book, I'll go ahead and put that in the store too. So
Oh,
just a couple of
good to
like my
know.
favorite things column that I just keep adding to, which I love. I mean, that's the beauty of the web, right? Where you can just keep adding on, putting more. So that's, for me to ask everybody, what's your favorite song that gets you just, in the dancing
I'm going to check it
mood
out.
and
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the nice thing is it's just there's just a YouTube link, so you can just click on those and while you're working and listen to what other people were saying about the songs that really get them moving. So good. Yeah. Well, anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up our first podcast of the Inspiration Station, Angela?
No, I'm just really grateful for what you do. Thank you for your time. I love being a part of, the inspiration of our hub, and I'm excited to see all the new things that are coming around the corner. And I'm grateful for, the things you've inspired me with, the changes you've made, and the way you evolve, and the things that you take on, and all the stuff you have on your plate, and how you handle it as well. So thank you. Thank you for being
Oh,
inspirational, Bella.
thank you. Thanks for that. Yes, yes. I'm like, thank you. That totally made my Friday and my weekend and my Valentine's Day. So thank you so much, Angela. I appreciate you. I know I will see you soon. And yeah, thanks again for being my special guest. And look for this article, I guess, coming out in March as an issue of the Valley Lifestyles magazine. And thank you, everyone, for
All right.
tuning in. All
All
right.
right. Thank
Have
you.
a great weekend, everybody, and happy Valentine's Day.
Bye-bye.